Everybody, welcome back to On Call with Justin, Jacko, Danny, and Inca. The first thing you will notice about this is that we have officially kicked Jacko De Leon out of the show.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Good riddance,
finally.
Jacko.
Sack the Jack.
See ya.
Just kidding.
Hashtag
just kidding.
Of the show, sack the Jack.
He's there somewhere, and you'll hear him in a little bit. Yeah. But welcome to season two. This is the really, really quick intro. What can people expect from this episode, Danny?
This episode took a usual turn in the Spotify series, right? It's a very different feel from our lives. We usually try and start off light, but somehow we get really philosophical.
Oh, philosopher.
As we always do.
Get a lot of that.
Philosopher ka pala, Danny. Inca, what do you think Jacko would say about this episode?
I think Jacko would say that all the listeners right now, you know, you're going to be learning a lot of stuff from us, and you have a lot of things to look forward to, and it's just going to be a wonderful ride for everyone, you know, tuned in.
Social media,
yes.
Yeah. Social media, algorithms, Jacob.
But in all seriousness, folks, this is season two, so our theme is seasons.
Seasons of love.
You'll find out in a bit. Here we go. Hey, everybody, welcome to On Call with Justin,
Jacko,
Danny.
And Inca.
Woo! On call. With Justin, Jacko, Danny, and Inca.
And we're back.
Yeah, a little too much. A little too much, I think. Yeah.
We're just a little excited. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Welcome officially to season dos.
Did you thought that you'd get rid of us? Huh?
No, I don't think anyone thought that. No, I don't think anyone thought that.
My favorite part about us, Danny's face after when nobody reacted. He was like,
I mean, to our viewers who tagged us on the Spotify Wrapped.
Spotify
Wrapped.
Thank you. Yep.
Yes, there you go.
It will not to be On Call without those jokes.
I agree. To everyone who's listening to season one, thank you so much. It kind of surprised us to know that we charted, actually. I don't think you guys know that we charted.
What's our chart number?
Number 14. Or 14? Is that a 13 or 14? Like, I saw it earlier. I was checking
like
our
Philippine
rap.
Top charts.
I think so. I mean, it just said you ranked at top 13 or something. So I don't know if this means overall or if we charted at one point in time. But either way, I'll take it. Like, I'm cool with that.
Screenshot
that. Awesome.
Yeah. I want to see it.
Yeah. I got it.
I'm going to my Spotify right now.
If we once occupied that 14 slot, then that's good enough.
I know. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a good start. Yeah.
I mean, we probably topped 14 in like true crime list or something. Like, we're like,
yeah, what is our genre of podcast in Spotify?
I think society and culture.
Pretty sure we're like interviews, probably society and culture, and maybe improv and
like
comedy, actually. I remember when we were starting, we were like, what's our category? Well, we do like 80% of the show is improv. So is it improv? Is it like...
We're under a talk show.
Yeah, definitely, talk show. But yeah, regardless of whatever it is, here we are for season two, baby. Thank you so much for coming back.
Season two.
And for today, I kind of figured that would be an interesting theme for this episode is seasons, right? It is December. Wow, it's so friggin' wow. What's the word I'm looking for?
Seasons.
Deep. It's profound, no, Inks? It's so profound. Wow.
It's putting me in the feels.
No, but it is Christmas, right? Like, it's December. So now is the time where people say season's greetings.
It is the season
to be jolly, all these things. And it is season two. About a week or two ago, I don't know. Like, I just started journaling because that's something I do, especially in the morning, right?
Journaling is the best.
I love it. I love it.
Do you guys actually write stuff like in an app?
Yeah.
See? Oh, wow.
See this? That's my journal. This
is my... I'm so perplexed.
So
I just got a new journal, actually.
This is the inspiration for our episode today. You see it there. And
this is my journal.
Oh, this is so nice. Oh,
hey, matchy-matchy.
Is that from a certain coffee shop?
This is from Shibui PH. They do leather casings.
Ooh. Like,
they match my laptop case.
Oh,
that's actually
I love it. Right.
Look at that.
And it matches.
And it comes in different colors.
That's very Capricorn of you.
Yep.
No, but I love it. And I really... There's something so therapeutic about writing because it forces you to slow down. Because it's so easy, especially nowadays, right? When you're like, I have a couple of ideas and it's just faster for me to type them down. So, okay, great. Yeah. You type everything down. But at the end of that, for me at least, my experience is I feel so tired after that. And I'm just like, okay, nag-brain fart na ho. It's there on the page. But now, like, I haven't really processed it. Whereas when you're writing, you're... I don't know. There's that connection to
each and every word.
And,
yes.
Right? And so...
It's so true.
And so, I don't know. For some reason, that day, I was just thinking seasons. And so, obviously, the first thing you think of is... Seasons of love.
Seasons of love.
Latency really brings out the best of, like, you know.
So, I was like, you know, okay. So, you start to go, like, word association, whatever it is. Like seasons. Seasons of love, seasons of drought, seasons of abundance, right?
Wow.
And so I kind of figured we would talk about that today. Seasons. Now, Jacko,
like
when you hear the word seasons, what's the first thing you think of?
I don't know, Marco. Season.
Marco Season.
Yeah, the guy who sang the items. Okay, that's an
no,
age thing. Nobody would even know
again, no,
what
please.
That is anymore.
Expound.
Yeah, there's a guy named Marco Season. He's a singer, popular singer.
Uh-huh.
And he sang this song called Ida, Lorna, and Faye. Like, si Ida or si Lorna or si Faye. Like, he was picking
Up
three girls. The only reason that pops up every time is I make that joke every time I hear that the word because my nana, my yaya, who has been with us for over 30 years, 35 years.
Oh, I love that.
She left already and retired just a few weeks ago. So that was like, so I, you know, it's all fresh in my head.
Oh, she retired now. Yeah. That's
she was supposed
so
to retire early in the year, but COVID. So we were like, so she stuck with us. Yeah.
Parang second mom mo kind of.
Parang ganun. Yeah. I mean, she raised pretty much most of us because
seasons that in, yeah, and that's part of the seasons, you know.
So, I think she's like 70 something by now, like 70.
Oh.
So, yeah. So that always gets me, like, and I made a joke about that in like another episode. So season, whenever I hear your season, I hear that, or I see Vilma in my head because it's like Star for All Seasons. And maybe last thing about seasons is really, you know, again, a season's greetings, right? Like, it's,
yeah,
we don't have much seasons. We have two seasons, right?
Like, wet and dry.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
right. So in the Philippines, like, it makes me see a white Christmas. It makes me see a season in the States because when you see your seasons, you think four seasons. So,
right. That's what I think.
Yeah,
right.
Like the resort.
Yun ba yung ano? Juice ba yun?
The dressing.
Yeah. The season. Sesame.
Sorry, Thousand Island pala. Thousand Island. Of the juice.
Four seasons juice.
Juice pa.
Wait. Four seasons juice?
Diba?
Because four seasons juice.
You know, we don't have four seasons to the point that the hotel in Boracay is called Two Seasons.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
As a play on four seasons. You know what I mean?
Amazing oyster sisig, by the way, if you're ever in Boracay.
And pizza.
Never been.
And their pizza.
Please do go there. Danny, when you hear seasons, what do you think?
Actually, there's this tweet that I wanted to share by Gabby Padilla, right, that I reposted. And it's very timely for our topic. She goes, just because you did something wrong in the past doesn't mean you can't advocate against it now.
True.
It doesn't make you a hypocrite. You grew. Don't let people use your past to invalidate your current mindset. Growth, a concept. Embrace it. So I think what she's trying to say then is like, just because you were in a season that you don't agree with anymore, you don't have to let that season of your life define how you will live this season of your life.
So again,
just because you were in a season before that you don't agree with anymore. You don't have to let that be like a, how do you say, when you're in prison, that weight on your ankle, you know?
Mm. Yeah, you're not from, shackled to it.
Exactly. Mm. To hinder you from disagreeing with what you used to believe in. You may have grown out of it.
Yeah.
That's okay. And you can advocate against it if your principles have changed and you've, what the kids now are saying, the kids now, you've been woke.
Yeah. If I may add to this, someone told me before, the worst thing you can do to someone who's trying to change is to remind them of who they were before.
I agree. I 100% agree with that. Mm. That's the irony, I guess, of the times we live in today, because we would... That's a beautiful quote by Gabby, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very, very wonderful person. But that's also the irony of today, because we do have this whole cancel culture thing. Wherein,
receipts.
Yeah, and people have been digging up posts from 10 years ago, from 5 years ago, from
it's a
like...
a different person, eh?
No, exactly. So the fact that we are that same person, we're the very same person who's saying, hey, you know what? I can change. I've grown. I've had this. It's okay to change. We're also the same person who's saying that person should be, you know, crucified. That person should lose their jobs for like, something they said before, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, thank you for bringing that up, Danny. I think that's...
That goes very well with seasons, because seasons, you know, they would change.
Yeah.
Correct.
The only thing constant in life is change, right?
Correct.
And death and taxes.
Yeah. Yes. Change, death, and taxes. Yep.
And sales.
Yep.
Just kidding.
Yeah, what comes to mind what comes to mind when I hear seasons is like a metamorphosis of a butterfly.
Oh, beautiful picture.
I like that.
They, in each stage, they are totally different. Physically, you know, their abilities have changed. Their capabilities have changed.
Correct.
True.
So relating to this tweet, you know, like you can't crucify a butterfly for having been a caterpillar.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not the same thing. They've evolved.
Yeah.
They've grown.
Yeah.
And now they can even fly.
Mm.
You know, did you know that when they're in their chrysalis stage, they're literally sludge in there?
The cocoon stage?
Oh, no way. Okay.
It's just slime. So they really go through an entire like rebuilding, restructuring of their bodies.
That's so fascinating.
It's like humans, right? Like once there's going to be one point in your time where you're just
sludge.
Slime.
Sludge. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I was kidding. You're going there. Okay.
Yeah, no. There will be. I mean, even when you're with your friends and you're just with your friends, you are a sludge as everyone, you know.
Yeah.
I agree.
For sure.
So, like, I was actually considering raising butterflies just to see how they turn into butterflies. To see it live.
Like, before, is that now? Is that a now thing?
Like, maybe 2 months ago, I never really got into it, but I was really considering it and I wanted to buy a few.
I feel like that's something that would be up your alley. I don't know. I feel like bagay sa yun.
Just to watch them. Like,
owner of butterflies.
I was thinking, like, if ever I was to get a tattoo, you know, no.
Please get a tramp stamp of a butterfly.
Of a butterfly.
Speaking of tattoos, my roommate got a new tattoo.
Okay.
Really?
And it's actually related. I didn't know it was related to our topic today, but it's a tattoo.
You got a butterfly
mandala,
tattoo?
A mandala.
What's a mandala again?
So mandala is like a pattern.
Yeah, it's like a repeating pattern.
A lot of people get one of a lotus flower.
Mm.
So my roommate, he just got it because it was recommended by Ron Po. I think the owner of PNP recommended it. And he did it here on his neck, right?
Oh, shoot. Okay.
And then I was like, so do you know what it is and what it means? And he was just like, no, it looks really cool though.
And it's on his neck?
Yeah,
that's quite the commitment.
So I before he got it, I made a point to actually Google the meaning so that he knew what he was about to get on him. So mandala, it signifies rebirth and spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's in relation to our topic.
And definitely. Mostly, I think, because the roots of the lotus is dirty, ideally. Like something like that. Like parang it's in, obviously, lotus.
It can't be too clean. Parang ganon.
Na parang it's the dirtiest waters where the most beautiful lotuses really.
So you wouldn't expect
that
beautiful can come out of something so grimy and dirty.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. My dad collected lotuses kasi for a while. My dad collects everything. But like, we had paintings that he would have artists paint lotuses lang. Because of that meaning. It's beautiful. It's actually a beautiful meaning.
It is a beautiful flower.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. So after that, he was like, yeah, I'm totally doing it. So I'm like, okay, go for it.
On his neck. Also?
On his neck here, right here.
Your roommate.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like bagay naman din sa kanya.
Yeah, he carries it very well. And he's very happy with it.
Yeah.
And it was done by Ron Po himself.
And then his voice changes, right? Because it's like, because it's on his neck.
It's so funny because like the pattern the pattern goes around this Adam apple. And the Adam apple's like the center of the mandala.
Mm.
So it's pretty cool.
That's cool.
That's so cool though.
What about for you, Inks? When you think seasons?
Seasons for me. I like what you guys said about change, and I will add to that and say that seasons for me also like means that, and it also is a reminder that even though we may change, we can still go back to who we were before.
Mm-hmm.
There is still that part because like seasons change, but they also repeat.
Yeah,
I agree.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, I guess in the same way, it is both hopeful and a reminder that we have to keep working on ourselves, because hopeful in a sense that if you are trying to change something about yourself that you don't like and you slip back into an old habit that you're trying to avoid, other people might get discouraged and be like, oh, never mind, I won't try anymore. But it's a good reminder for people to be like, you know, it's okay, because it happens. Progress isn't a linear thing. It's a spiral journey. So you'll be going in and out of these like patterns. It's okay. Just because you go back to an old habit you didn't like doesn't mean that you do not have a chance to change.
Yeah, right.
It's fine. Like, be patient with yourself. Also, in the same vein, if you feel like you've changed into something that you don't like, it doesn't mean that you're lost forever.
Mm-hmm.
You can still always go back to something that you want to be.
Yeah. Man, that's so powerful. Actually, that reminds me of Terry Crews, this one video that he did, and he posted it everywhere. He said that it's regard to a certain topic, but I'll just talk about it in a general sense. He said, you should not go to the might as well mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes.
The might as well mindset is a spirally slope to your own demise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just because you've done something bad doesn't...
Might as well.
Yeah, give you the right to just go, might as well do this, might as well do that, you know, because I've already done that, you know.
So, correct.
So the might as well mindset, sabi, you know? So what you should instead do is believe that you are good and therefore act accordingly, you know. And because you internalize the fact that this is who I am, you look at yourself in the mirror and you're saying, this, I am good, and you believe it with 100% of yourself, act accordingly, because that is what you are. Not what you strive to become.
Yeah.
That is what you already condition yourself to already be.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Reminds me of a Mick Jagger quote. And it's like something to the effect, like, it's all right letting yourself go as long as you can always get yourself back. And not a lot of people have that ability. I mean, it's easier said than done. I mean, obviously, he meant a lot of other things.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So for me, that's what also seasons mean. Like, and I just came to this thought from listening to what you guys are saying and then just like, you know, thinking about it and then kind of went with my train of thought there.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, so it's also a good reminder that it's a constant work. Because things change, because seasons do change, it's always a constant work. If you're trying to better yourself, if you're trying to achieve something, if you want to maintain something, it's always constant work because things can always and will always change.
Yeah.
So there.
Yeah, I keep thinking. I keep thinking about a couple times in season one. You know, we were talking about marriage, interestingly enough, right? Like, what to expect in marriage from the three unmarried people. Only one of us is married. But you know, parang that sobering fact that, at least from the meaning of marriage, right? The book by Tim Keller, he says that, you know, it's a common experience that people will feel like throughout their marriage, they'll be married to five different people, in that their partner will just change that many times, you know? party goer in your 20s, but then maybe in your 40s, you're a gardener. Like, you don't want to go out and, you know, you'd rather just tend to your plants and, you know, read books or whatever it is, right? And so I keep thinking about that with regard to seasons and just, you know, like, you want to think about your whole life. Like, right now we're in, like, our, you know, 20s, 30s.
Yeah.
But, you know, what about when we're 40, 50, 60, 70? Like, can you imagine what we'll be thinking in those seasons? And what we'll be thinking listening to this podcast, be like, oh, look at those 20 and 30-year-olds.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think about that. That's right. The internet is forever.
Yeah. No, and we have to remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's also one of the reasons why I'm very enthusiastic about podcasting, because it's like journaling. I just love to journal.
That's true. Audio journal.
Same.
Right? I love to look back at... I have planners from back in like college and stuff like that. Mm. And when I look at whatever, like my schedule, like, okay, study for this test, get notes from Danny or, you know, whatever it is. And it's just so interesting to look back at that too.
Get notes from Danny?
No, that never happened.
Never.
It's just an example. But,
I'm not a journaling guy, but I love the idea of social media because they even went to a point where and they remind you of certain dates. Hey, yeah. This happened in 7 years ago. And I appreciate that because a lot of pictures are, I'm super scattered normally. Yeah. So I usually don't keep track of, if my camera dies, I just put it in a cabinet and that's it. So I know it's there, but I don't save it anywhere else. So I love having social media. I love having something like this because this is a documentation. This is kind of oral history of our own, you know, it's the modern day recording of our oral history.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people feel like they're not journal type of people.
Mm. But they are.
But Instagram is a journal.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
It's literally Twitter. A daily journal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twitter is a journal.
Yep.
Because you put your journaling is essentially recording your thoughts, your feelings, what you did for the day, what you learned. Mm. And everyone does this on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. I went to the beach today. It was so fun. It was our anniversary. I did this today. I learned this one, some insight, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
It's all journaling.
Yeah. Only I guess the difference is it's public, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, people were doing it like before. Speaking of like going back to your old journals, I remember when I used to journal online. Do you guys reach livejournal.com?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's such a cringe thing for me looking back at my teenage thoughts. I'm like, wow, Inca. It's like you went through so much pain. You're like 12.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, even yung Facebook reminders, diba? Yung 5 years ago, 10 years ago, yung mga so status mo dati.
Friendster parang, testimonials.
Yeah.
Dude, I wish.
Sasabihin ito.
I wish I could see those. I wish we could pull those up again, dude.
No,
but they're nice. Okay. But here's the thing. And I think that's a beautiful point to kind of leap off from, right? Like, that's part of life. Eh? Growth and change is part of life. And looking back into these things, and I always say, you look back to see how far you've come.
Yeah.
And
the only time you look back.
I even saw a post of like, and this one the other day, and I guess it's just a new age mentality. They were like, don't post pictures of your, or don't post anything about your kids. They're now digital, you know, natives. They'll see this in the future and they're going to be embarrassed by what you posted. And I'm like, wow, we've gone this far. If you look back at anything we've posted in the past 20 years, it is as embarrassing as that. It's not like we're posting, you know, really embarrassing things about our kids, diba? But like, even that one, because the other day, see Jake, I went out of my room and I was like, I saw Jacob jumping. He was so happy. And then I looked down at the jumping area and it was, he was kind of spreading his poop with...
Oh my Lord.
I knew there was a poop thing coming.
And I had photos of it and I'm like, oh man, is this something that if I post now, people are going to be like, oh, your kids are going to be hating. And I'm kind of like, dude, this is my growth. Right? Like my kid. Yeah. Okay. I get it. And I'm very responsible when it comes to, you know, things like that. But then you get to think, right? Like our thoughts, our opinions, at least a particular time in our lives, going to be crucified later on because of the audience that's taking part of it. And that's the problem with like online journaling versus something very private. Another thing that's funny to me, I guess, is like, I mean, I hope nothing horrible happens in the world, right? Like, I mean, or nothing else.
But of course.
You imagine something like Anne Frank, right? They picked up her journal and like, you know, they use Anne Frank's journal as like a history of what's going on, you know, during that war and whatever. Imagine people creating an online journal nowadays, or an online, you know, off like their TikToks or their, this is the, you know, and they're going to build the whole movie out of it. And then like, I don't know, it's just funny because like, obviously we document things a little bit more enthusiastically than like back in the day. So
yeah. But it's really interesting though that there is so much, regardless if it's exaggerated or not, it is documentation that can be scrutinized, and you can find the accurate information from there if you cross-reference other pieces of content. Like, I've heard it said also that because of the early, let's say, church writers and, you know, commentary or whatever on the Bible or whatever, if the actual Bible were lost, they could still put it together based on all of the writings of the early church writers.
Based on context.
Already quoting it and stuff like that. But it's so interesting that, because of this multitude of documentation.
Records
out there, right? You can still piece things together, regardless if, you know, they're highfalutin or whatever it is, like what you were saying, Jax. But yeah. That's just an interesting point.
No, yeah, like same goes for a person. Like since the digital age, not like before, but historians had to figure out who this person was exactly by getting fragments of this and that. We saw a piece of like a handwriting thing and blah, blah, blah. Now it's so easy to put together who a person could possibly be. And it's probably going to be pretty accurate because of how much of ourselves we put out there.
Yeah.
Right. You know what? That reminds me. I don't know who exactly it was, but back in college, we studied different psychologists. I'm not sure if it was Watson or Skinner, but definitely a behavioral psychologist that said, give me 5 children, tell me what you want them to become, and I will make them become that.
Seems like a Skinner thing.
If you want one to be a cop, okay. You want one to be a criminal, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's I can make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
Trying to look it up.
Super interesting.
Not sure.
Indeed.
Itatlo tayong psych major dapat may nakakaalam din, nakahiya.
I think that might have been Skinner. I don't really remember what Watson did. But
Skinner or Watson. But definitely a behavioral psychologist.
I mean, it is doable.
That's interesting.
It is doable, but I also believe in, you know, that free will, that if you're raised right and you have that values. And I guess to that point, like, yes, you could raise that person, but every person will still have their own conscience. And I mean, even if you read like The Giver or like, you know. Like,
oh, I love The Giver.
Like all these books wherein the society was able to kind of cramp them into this colorless world. Like, you know, people will still find a way to figure stuff out.
On the opposite note, actually, there's twins, right, that have been separated at birth. Very different lives, like socioeconomically, but ended up doing the same thing.
Yeah. I know people who were, the families were separated, so the kid grew up with someone else, and then they didn't see their parents forever, right? But then when you find out more about the parents, the kid is very much the same. There's so much about the human nature that we have yet to uncover. And I think there's a lot of things that goes on in it. And the best thing you could do is really be a good person and, you know,
be true to yourself.
It's so interesting, no? Twin studies and everything.
I remember
that episode of Friends where, like, Joey was just looking for money, right? And then he found out that, like, this clinic was going to pay, like, top dollar for twins to come in to take, like, some psychological tests. He's like, I need to find a twin. and then he was like, where can I find someone who's exactly like me? And he was in a casting thing. And so everyone beside him, they were wearing like leather jackets just like him. And then they went to the clinic and I don't know, just funny.
No, but Friends did a lot of twin kind of...
Phoebe and her twin.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, even the son of Ross is a twin in real life.
That's right. Yeah, he's one of the Sprouses.
Sprouse twins.
Yes!
Yeah.
And even Ross had a... There was one episode that I like where Ross had a... kind of
Russ,
exactly the same
Russ.
I've always been curious. I mean, out of 8 like 7 billion people in the world. Like, there's probably someone who's very similar to us, you know?
I mean,
like,
I still firmly believe that me and Kiefer Ravenna have been separated at birth.
At birth. No, I wouldn't even deny that.
Dude, there's this trend on TikTok na parang, there's so many people in the world, there's bound to be someone who looks exactly like you. So right. People started, like, this isn't a current trend. This is like a trend like a few months ago. But like, people would post videos of themselves and then it would circulate TikTok, and eventually somebody would duet, look exactly like you.
I mean, there's, if you're one in a million, then there's probably 6,000, 7,000 people just like you. Yeah. Right? Like, it's interesting. I find, you know, doppelgangers and like people who are exactly like, even people you meet and you just have that chemistry when you meet them for the first time and you're so alike, and you're like, how can you grow up in a different society, in a different culture, in a different part of the world, and we're so alike? And that's
correct. I've experienced that recently, actually. I met someone on TikTok and she and I are so similar. Like, we got to talking. And then
she's
just like,
no,
not at all. She lives in the States, and she was just like, every time we would talk about something, we were on a live together.
Correct.
She'd say something and I'm like, oh my God, what? And then later on I'd say something and she's like, wait a sec. And then it's just, we're just so similar. Like, we ended up looking at each other. We're like, what is this for real?
It's beautiful, right? It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's so crazy.
I mean, humanity has more, we have a lot more in common than our differences. And that's also one thing.
Why can't we all just get along?
Yeah. We focus too much on what makes us different. And that goes for anything that we're trying to push our individuality or whatever. Mm. But it's also beautiful to see what humanity has alike. And that goes beyond our physical. But even that, we focus on the differences in physicality rather than, hey, look, we got the same kind of structures and whatnot.
Funny thing is, like, going back to seasons, ano, if you're in a season, you don't know the person that you don't necessarily agree with, their morals or whatever. Malay mo, yun yung next season mo pala.
Interesting.
That's a good one. And you're like, holy cow. Like, ako, I guess the most that I can relate to that is by everyone who's been following the podcast knows I've been on my fitness journey.
Correct.
For the longest time, you know, I really hated gym rats. I despised them. I'm like, these guys are douchebags. They're full of themselves, you know?
Yeah,
I really hate them. The burning passion. And then now I'm looking at the mirror. I'm like flexing my face.
Yes, James. Now you're drinking protein shakes.
I understand.
And vice versa. And vice versa. We hate people who we were. But that's beautiful. That's a beautiful point, Danny. Like, it's more like...
That.
And going back to what Inka said earlier, like, we all go back to these cycles. Mm. And I've always been amused by the idea that kids and really, really old people are almost alike. Diba?
Oh, like, yes, they, same.
Like, they both end up wearing diapers. They both end up having, you know, visual issues. And
you talk to them in the same way.
Yeah. Mm. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, that's another point. Correct.
Diba? You're like, Lola, ano? Okay, did you eat? Oh,
even the clapping. Diba? Even the clapping. Like, goo goo gaga, you know?
and they talk the same way. They're like,
Yeah.
Because
recently I was telling my sister, because my sister is a preschool, play school teacher.
Yeah.
And she was saying that somebody told her that she would work well in like an old person's home. And then I realized, yeah, that makes so much sense. It's because she deals with toddlers all the time. She teaches kids all the time.
Yeah.
And she has the patience for these kids. It's so funny that it can apply to like people who are really, really old.
And they have loose bowel, you know, like everything is pretty much, even the illnesses that usually babies can be really sick from, that's also what,
like gas
or even just the basic cold, like they can have like, you know, pneumonia and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's really interesting to see it that way. And even even socially, we judge other people's, like, let's say during the 50s or the 60s, they would be like, oh, Elvis is the devil, you know, like, oh, and And which is odd because he was a gospel singer, by the way. But like, yeah.
Was
and
he?
Then, yeah. I mean, he sang gospel a lot. His kind of style of music was very, you know.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. and then
he
you have
those Elvis one Halloween, by the way.
I should. And then like, there's, you know, today wherein we go like, you know, oh, at least our time would be like, oh, Eminem, or like later on would be, I don't know. I can't really say the same for BTS because they're just such great kind of guys. You know, there's no
people. Okay, with BTS one, people are like, oh my god, you know, the Beatles made better music than BTS, I can't believe the blah, blah, blah. But when you think about it, that's exactly what people thought about the Beatles when they first came out. It's like, it's just like for girls.
Yeah No, exactly, that's what I'm saying. So socially we judge others where in fact, like, it goes both ways. We judge our elders and the younger people. But we also would go into that, what Danny was saying. We also, at one point in our time, would have fallen into a very similar predicament.
This reminds me of my history lessons back in, I'm not sure, high school or college. They were talking about the Renaissance period. And they were discussing about how all of these periods are a rebellion to the last.
Mm.
Yeah.
Ah, interesting.
An uprising of something that is totally against the one that came before it. Like, even in art, right? Like, the ways people painted were like a rebellion to how their predecessors did their art forms.
I mean, I wouldn't say exactly it was a rebellion. I think it's more like
response.
In a Star Wars way, it's a way to balance the
force.
The force.
Yeah. When you're looking at it.
Technically a rebellion, right? Because
rebellion is
to move away from that.
Correct. I just feel like rebellion sounds like such a
rebellion.
It's a very aggressive word.
Yeah, aggressive. Up in arms.
Too aggressive, yeah. A response, I think, is more apt. But it is a rebellion. It is a response. I mean, either way, you're looking at what's happening now, right? When something has been around for so long, and this is why a lot of, you know, the Gen Zers, they want that change. And we go back to change because, you know, this is something that they want to change it for their generation, right? For their generation.
Yeah.
What I want, you know, if there are any Gen Z listeners to understand, is also like the boomers that we call now also wanted to change their generation and are doing it for their generation at one point in time. And this is why in the 60s, we had that, all the peace movements, because at that time they had a lot of war.
Yeah.
So every generation is fighting for their own space. And what you have to realize is that we all are fighting for practically the same thing. We want our generation.
We have the same motives.
Correct.
General motives.
That's where we have to start when it comes to conversing. Right? I know. But yeah, where's that from?
How I Met Your Mother.
How I Met.
There you go. But that's the thing, right? Like, if we focus on that everyone changes and we go back to change as a constant thing with people, then we can sync our changes eventually and really talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, you're changing, I'm changing. How can we all change for the better? Which is the most important change that we could all become a part of, right? Yeah. So
every generation, it's always like an ebb and flow. It's always just like we're moving this way. Wait, we want to move that way first. And then we move this way again, and we move that way. Mm. You know, it's always balance. A flow. Yeah.
It's like momentum. I mean, sa desk yung balls na.
The balls.
Seasons.
Yeah.
Right? Seasons of up and down and clashing with the pendulum. With that, actually, I did want to bring this up. This is part of the wisdom literature. And regardless of your religious or theological background, it seems that everyone at least agrees with this, no? It's called A Time for Everything. And it says this. Yeah.
Yes.
For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
Is this Ecclesiastes?
Ecclesiastes 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Part of the wisdom literature. And
I memorized this before.
Oh, you did?
For school. For school, yeah.
And before, in ano, in poblacion, there's a time to time.
It's a time.
Oh, God, no. There's never a time to time.
3 or 4 a.m.
No.
But even then, it's a bad time to go to town. It's just never a good time to go to town.
I would agree. It's always a bad time. When
don't do it. Don't
and
do
it wasn't a great
oh,
time.
Gosh.
When everyone goes quiet and some random in the group goes, ano, tara, time.
Time.
Oh my God, speaking of, we're gonna listen to this podcast like 10 years from now. We're like, time, mo? That Bro. Was a thing?
No, even kids now are like, what is time?
Oh my God.
All right, guys. Yeah. So,
speaking of time.
So when we go... Yeah. Little side note, okay? Time is one of the popular clubs one of the popular clubs.
It's closed now, yeah.
In Makati, in Poblacion area around Makati Ave. And it was infamous for not closing. Like, they would close at like 9:30, maybe 10 a.m. or whatever
Dude,
it is.
Dude, yeah.
And so it was always the last resort for people. Like, let's say if all the other clubs are closed.
You're
but it was always it was always sketchy. Because
it's
so true.
And the thing is, even if you're a totally clean, well-meaning person, if you go at least later on, I developed this reputation that if you were to go there, you might just be arrested.
Correct.
Just
and
by association.
That's why it closed down.
Correct.
To be honest. Yeah. I mean, that's
Correct.
Why it closed down.
Yeah. That's why we can talk about it like this, because if it was still open...
Then no. Yeah. But dude, one time, like, you go into time, and then you're having fun and all that stuff. You come out, and it's daylight. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Because it's black out inside. You
It's a black hole, dude. Like, time disappears in there. You don't know what's happening.
Exactly.
But you know what? To be fair, I met some pretty cool people.
I'm sure.
And if you're like Justin was saying, you're a good, well-mannered person, you will somehow still end up in time at one point in your life.
You're gonna see some stuff in
Man,
time.
Sana may ganong place pa rin, no? That was part of like
No. Please, God, no.
If we were to learn from someone else's past or each other's past, that's one of the pasts that you're kind of like, yeah, you know what? We gotta learn from that point
from
in time. Not a,
also
like,
in the figurative sense, right? We have to learn with time, right?
Mm. Well, time heals all wounds.
I've seen some stuff in there.
It's kind of like you could have a, what do you call it, like a therapy session of people who have gone to time.
Yeah.
You're
going to
hear support group.
My name's Danny. I've been to time.
and then the funny part is at the end of the session, you hear a rando saying, ano guys, time?
Ano time?
Hell yeah.
And time and again, will end up going to time.
That's the thing. Somebody says that, right? The thing is, everyone in the group has this sinking feeling that I don't want to do it. But you still end up there.
You know when you see like a train wreck, it's awful. You don't want to look, but you can't look away.
Yes.
It's like,
and you end up going back. Anyway, right?
Again and again, it just works. I mean, it's a great business model. I mean,
was.
It's a great
I mean,
what was the business model?
Oh no, Danny. Oh no.
No, but yeah. Danny, by the way, is a club promoter and a bar promoter.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's just that there was just so much controversy tied to that
That's
club.
So true.
So it's just. It's kind of controversial what you're saying also right now. That's all I'm saying.
No. But to Justin's point, people went to that area of Makati.
Yeah.
And even if you are a well-meaning person, you end up going to time. It's not, you know, it's not like just a den of... Like,
yeah, it's
whatever.
Not a place for sinners. You know what I mean? It's just it's just a place.
Yeah. Yeah. It just so happens that
they end up going there.
Because probably they're also the people that stay up late then, the bus.
And it's that space, right?
Yeah. Because who said that? Nothing good ever happens past 2 a.m.
Also, How I Met Your Mother. Yeah. That's also from How I Met Your Mother. Was that Ted's mom? Was that they all
followed
it? I think so. They all followed it.
That's actually true.
It's so true. Yeah,
that is true. That should be the title now. Not like seasons. It's like nothing good. Nothing good happens after 2 a.m. That might even be a good podcast we could start in the future, wherein we just talk after 2 a.m. and then 2 to 3 a.m. And then that's the time we record it. Hey, that's a good idea.
But we have to do it drunk.
And we'll just call it Nothing Good.
Nothing good.
That's so dark.
And you always record at 2 a.m.
Or instead of all good, you could just call it all bad.
No. Oh. Sige, pass na lang ako. Pass na lang ako dyan.
Ano, tara, time?
No. I say no now, but drunk Inca would probably be like, yeah, let's.
Maybe two beers.
I see it as a movie scene. Eh? Now, it's one of those places where in like another time, and then everybody's like, no, cut to everybody's like, oh, yeah.
We're in time.
Oh, gosh.
Everybody's waiting there like,
man, but definitely for a season, I was there.
Yeah.
It was every week. You're out. And so you think to yourself, where is everyone going next? Okay, then if you're still up and about, especially if you've been having like Red Bull all night, right? Giving like Jaeger bombs or
that's your favorite,
whatever it was my favorite, I gotta say. You know me, I like my energy inks.
I know.
And so yeah, so when I'd be out at night also, I didn't want drinks that would make me mellow and down. Because I'm out. It's a social setting.
Of course.
I wanna have energy to be able to socialize and stuff like that. Bang my head like Night at the Roxbury style, right? So yeah.
Especially if you have a car. Yeah. But I think that's a season that I do not like. I'm okay not going back to anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
right,
like
right.
We had
same.
Our
but
time.
It's important to have been part of your growth.
No. I am so happy that I had that season of mine. Where I had my season of like, I was probably drinking every day. I was doing other stuff. You know, I was just like, and Justin was witness to that season of mine.
we were at Tipple and Slaw.
Yeah.
I go to work still drunk because I didn't go home. I just went straight to work after.
Holy cow.
Like a night.
I ran a marathon drunk. Half marathon.
That's probably why you got injured, isn't it?
No, it wasn't.
Is that the
marathon.
One?
Oh, it wasn't that marathon. Yeah, wow.
That marathon was my best time ever. I was
you
straight
mean,
out from a party.
You mean in your mood? Like, that's the best marathon ever.
No. Like, I literally timed my best speed ever. During the run
time?
That I ran
that
after a night out of
seeing,
drinking,
but then you know it's.
Like, I have the timestamp to prove it. Like it.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah, yeah. 22K on a hangover.
Dude, I remember doing my show just like. Doing an ad lib, like my headphones are on, like 99.5 left out, blah, blah, got the best. What time was that? It's like 9 in the morning. Let's get your week started. Bam. And then I turn the music, like my mic off, and I take my headphones off, and I'm just like,
I remember, I was there.
This should be an entire episode. Like all the stories that maybe the next episode, maybe you know, if you're listening, our next episode is literally going to be all the crazy stories that happened.
Oh no,
you know. Oh no,
that's gonna be a fun episode. That's gonna be a fun episode.
I'm happy for that season because now I don't feel like I have the need to do,
to
that,
do that
anymore.
You didn't miss out.
Yeah, I already
you
did everything. Yeah.
So with that, actually, that was the main question that I wanted to get to today is, have you ever felt controlled by a season of your life? And to cap it off, how do you stop this from happening? I mean, there is a flow, right? Seasons will come, seasons will go. You will have to go with the flow to some degree. But at the same time, you need to be able to steer your ship, right? Like, just because the wind is blowing you in a certain direction doesn't mean that you have to go in that direction, right?
I totally agree. Yeah.
So the closing question is that. Have you ever felt controlled by a season of your life? And how do you stop it from happening?
Yes.
Ooh, that's going to be a deep answer.
Yes.
I'll start. Just because, like, it's just fresh in my head right now. Like, not fresh experience. Right? I'm just saying, you know, it goes... as well with relationships. It goes with certain moments in your life wherein it has built your character. And even if you don't admit to it, we've all been in that very moment wherein we were trapped by that moment and we're trying to get out of it. We're trying to get out of it, but every day we constantly wake up, go back into it, wake up, go back into it. And that's why you need that rebellion, that that renaissance, that whatever you want to call it, right?
Oh, I love that.
You need to break the wheel, you know, as Game of Thrones would put it. You need to break that cycle because we all get trapped in that ebb and flow of that season. Mm. Like, for example,
what does that mean?
It's like an ebb and flow. When you have
ebb and flow. It's like the motion of the ocean, basically. Yeah.
It's the flow.
Ebb and flow of the tide.
it's like you're you know.
Motion of the ocean 99.5 hours.
No, but diba, it's kind of like we're all going to be stuck it, whether it's a cycle of going out to drink or whether it's a girl or a guy that you're madly.
Like a toxic relationship.
Or a toxic relationship. Yeah. No, or even if it's work, right? It's just like you're a creative and you're stuck in that
stuck in a rut.
We all have had that, but we also have to bring back Inka's point. We also have to understand that even our darkest hour is just 60 minutes, and there's always going to be something after. It's just that we have to understand that that is how it works. And if you're stuck in a rut, you need to have that massive change in your life. You need to shake things up yourself. If not, other people will have to do it for you. That's why you have
intervention.
Oh, so true. Yeah. It's so true.
It has to be shaken, but it can be fixed and it can change. So going back to change.
That's super deep, yeah.
Change can happen.
And just so
change
that like, just like I can scene. Maintain the deepness of where we're going, right?
Yeah.
I guess the biggest question we should be asking is, sino ba yung si Eben and bakit siya nagfo-flow?
Ano siya, rapper siya and meron siyang flow.
See,
or you have you have LBM and nagfo-flow lang yung ebbs mo.
Nah. Nako.
Ebbs and flow.
Yeah.
But how about you, Danny? Like, how about you? Like, let's pass it on.
Danny first, go.
Danny, the question is, have you ever felt controlled by a season of your life? And how do you stop it from happening?
Have I ever been controlled in a season of my life? Yes, more than once. More than once, I have. But the one that comes to mind is, and why I was reacting, was the toxic relationship. Like, I was in a place where I was not in control. And not to say that I'm a, like, control freak in that sense, but it was just like there were things happening in my life that weren't good for me and I couldn't do anything about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And disclaimer, like, toxic relationships aren't because one of you are a bad person. It's nothing to do with if a person is good or if a person is bad, right?
Correct.
It's everything to do with both of you being bad for each other.
Yes.
That's nice.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, not right for
that's so true.
So they're good, you're good, you're both great, just not together.
True, you know? True.
So
like you're not bad, you just kind of eventually bring out the worst in each other.
Yeah, and there's just another, right? Those kind of thing, relationships where if that is what is going on, you shouldn't be there. Because just like the question, like you lose control and how do you get out? It's, you know, the hardest decisions, the hardest choices are the right ones.
Yeah.
The things that are hardest to do are what's right. It's so easy to do what's pleasurable. It's so easy to do what's convenient. It's so easy to do whatever it is that won't be, you know, against what you feel, you know.
Yeah.
But those are most often than not, I'm not saying 100% of the time, correct, those are usually the right things to do. Right. And in this specific situation, the right thing to do was for me to have ended it, but I was stuck, you know, and I just kept going and kept trying.
Cycle.
And then thing is, like, I was so lost in that relationship, not knowing that it was toxic, that it was bad for me, that it wasn't only unfair to me, it was unfair to her, you know. So the best thing would have been to have ended it, but I didn't straight away. Eventually, you know, everything will have its natural way of doing things. And I'm sure wherever she is now, she's doing a lot better. I know I am, right? And that's just testament to how it wasn't supposed to be us, diba? And I'm happy for her. I wish her all the best, diba? Mm. Like I said, she's not a bad person. She's just not great with our combo.
Yeah.
So yon. So for those of you out there, not necessarily in a relationship that's toxic, but in a situation that you would say is not good for you, or you know, the best way to get out of it is to just man up, make a decision, and live with the repercussions of that decision, knowing deep down that you have more to gain than to lose.
Yeah.
In the long run, no matter how hard it is to make that decision.
Correct.
Because at the end of the day, you know what to do. In your heart of hearts, yeah, you already know what's right.
That's
you
true.
Just need to act upon it.
Yeah.
How about you, Inks?
For me, I similarly to what both of you have said, yes, I was stuck in a season of my life that I felt trapped in or had no control over many times and in different aspects of my life. So like at one point, I was doing so many things that were unhealthy for my body, like in a lifestyle sense, I was always drinking, to say the least. And I was stuck in that pattern because like I was stressed at work. It also became a habit. I was around people with the same bad habits. And if you try to get out of that, like you also kind of remove yourself from your support group in a way, because when you do that sort of activity with your friends, like you're drinking all the time and stuff, yeah, like that's how you bond, right? Mm. So yeah, like you want to stop because you feel like it's already unhealthy for you. I was getting sick often. I wasn't getting the right amount of sleep and I could see the effects on my body. But I couldn't stop because stopping meant that I would stop hanging out with my friends. So I felt like I didn't have control over that in that sense. It's because I love my friends and I love my partner at the time. So it's like, how do I stop?
Yeah.
That.
It's
right?
Your ecosystem.
So, yeah.
So difficult. Yeah. I totally, right? Like, I'm just remembering how it felt to be in that.
Right? Like, how do you make that choice? Mm. You know, so that's why I felt like I didn't have control over that. And in the same sense, like what Danny said, like you get stuck also, like you, the seasons nga, it can also apply to relationships. Like you don't start off as a toxic couple, right? You always start off as like, oh, this is great, because it is.
Talaga, yeah.
Infatuation
and that's
and
why
everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, and that's why.
Have you seen Strangers Again? That's exactly what that YouTube video Strangers Again is about.
Ah, not
the seasons
yet.
Seasons of relationships.
Ayun.
Anyway, sige.
So you start off like that. And like what I said earlier, seasons remind you that it's constant work.
Right.
Because what happens in relationships is if you don't constantly work on it, you develop toxic habits. It doesn't become toxic immediately.
That's the T.
Right? It doesn't become toxic immediately. It's a slow burn to toxicity.
Mm.
So it's the little habits that pile up. So what happened to me was I got stuck in, like, the relationship slowly became codependent, which is toxic. Because what you want in a relationship is interdependency. Of course, you want to depend on your partner, but you don't want to be codependent.
Mm.
Like, you cannot survive without them. Like, you're not happy because they're not happy. That's not healthy.
That's nice. Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
so,
nice way to put it.
It's interdependency.
Yeah.
So you are happy on your own, and like your partner's happiness does not affect your own.
Yeah.
And you have your own lives. But
that,
a lot of
the,
people...
The you complete each other. It's the you complement each other.
Yes, yes. You're already complete in yourself. And that's something that a lot of relationships fall into. And you can get out of it. Again, it's like a seasons thing, but it's always like a constant choice. And like what Jaco said earlier, if you don't shake yourself out of it, somebody or something will. So I want to add to that, like a form of meditation, because I meditate every day. A form of meditation I do is I read tarot cards.
Mm.
So I don't do it to like predict people's futures. The way I use tarot cards is it's a way for me to put symbolism into my thoughts and to try to help me organize my thoughts.
Mm.
So in a way, it's like meditation through art interpretation. It's through interpretation of art.
That's how people who competitively memorize things, that's how they do it. They put an image to their thoughts.
Yeah.
Oh, there. Yeah. I read my tarot cards every morning to try to figure out, but I know how I'm feeling, obviously. And I know what I need to do, obviously. But sometimes I need help kind of prioritizing and thinking about these things. And when Jaco said that, if you don't shake yourself out of it, someone or something will. I thought of the Tower card. Looks mm-hmm. like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. That's the one you don't like seeing.
This is
yeah.
the one you don't like. So basically, for our listeners, it's a huge tower, usually like a lighthouse or something. Lightning is striking it. Yeah, oh, yeah, lightning is striking it. There's a big explosion and people are falling out of it. So what this card usually means is you are stuck in a rut and something, the universe is already like, you're stuck in there. It's going to shake you up. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be awful, but it's going to be good for you. Because everything after the Tower card is for your best interest. So you just have to go through the pain. So this is like the universe shaking you out of a season that you have been like, you were long overdue to get out of. And that's
a card that you're excited to see, but not.
You're never excited to see this card.
To see it at the same time.
You're never excited to see this card. You're just like,
something painful is about to happen, but it's going to make me better.
But it's always good for you. It's always for your benefit.
There's a lightning striking on the building.
Yeah. There's always like a healing after. So now,
you know what
like,
they say, lightning never strikes.
In the same place twice. Yeah, apparently that's a myth. Yeah. Apparently that's a myth. But like, yeah. So I went through my tower moment and then I am now in the process of my healing. And I will not call it healing anymore. I will just say, I am now in my renaissance.
God. Ding, ding, ding.
I like that one. I like that one.
Yeah.
So basically, to answer the question, I got stuck. Yes. What did I do to get out of that? It's really all just awareness. I started a habit of meditation. My tarot cards help is because every day, it's part of my journaling. I read my tarot cards and then I journal all of my thoughts. It's because that's part of my meditation. And self-awareness and awareness of your environment really helps you spot patterns. It's because you never get into these bad things again all of a sudden. It's always a pattern and it's always little signs. And so you learn to watch out for them.
Awareness. That's so powerful.
And not a lot of people are self-aware. I mean, you'd be surprised how many people are not self-aware.
Like me.
Danny, it's
a lot of things that I'm not aware of.
I was not. It's a practice that I like, and I have to do it every day. That's what I said. That's why I said earlier.
Every day.
Yeah, it's a conscious thing because I can easily go back into like what Danny said. We're not bad people. We just both developed bad habits and became toxic
together.
So it's not like my partner was the only toxic person. Yeah. I was too.
Right.
Diba? So
that's a big step to admit that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there.
Yeah, you know, like the gradual thing, no? One of my favorite quotes that I learned recently, because I'm reading this book, Atomic Habits by James Clear. Ooh. And one of my favorite quotes is that every action is a vote for the person you want to become.
I like that.
So every action is a vote for the person you want to become. So for example, if I decide, it's as simple as I'm going to do my dishes later. Me deciding not to do my dishes now, it's already a vote for I'm going to be the kind of person who puts off doing the dishes. You know what I mean?
True.
Something as simple, something as simple as that.
It makes a lot of sense, actually.
True.
Because everything just snowballs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I've been sticking to recently. Is every action is a vote for the person you will become, want to become, something like that.
So have you been doing your dishes?
I have been, mostly. Yeah, mostly. Or at least I think about it.
Instagram Live.
Or at least I think about it. So I'm more conscious. I'm more aware of it.
You're more aware. Yes, okay, yes. That's good.
You IG Live, you're cleaning up.
I used to until they started copyright striking me because I was singing and everything.
Playing music.
IG Live?
Yeah.
That's why you should stream it on Kumu, like what I do.
Yeah, maybe in another life. I'm just kidding.
TikTok.
No, maybe not in this season. But yeah, you know, I was going to share something different actually earlier on, Inks. But when you mentioned the tower and the big shaking, it reminded me of, I guess, a more significant season in my life. The first time I ever participated in like prayer and fasting, because in our church in Victory, we do it like, we used to do it once a year, but then
I remember this.
It used to be once a year. It used to be like 7 days, and the start of the year, not mandatory, but it's like, you know, if you want to participate, you know, a lot of great things you get out of it, no? Spiritually, physically, all these things. And like, and if you read books on fasting, there are a lot, yeah, like, I mean, I'm sure Danny knows this. Yeah.
I fast, you know, all the time. Yeah.
A lot of physical, mental benefits to fasting, right? And it's a biblical thing.
I'm fasting right now.
From back then. Anyway, so the first time I participated in prayer and fasting in church, like my mindset was, I'm just going to lose a few pounds and let's just join this church thing. Let's see how it is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And back then, you know, like in high school, I would join, you know, I was part of Luke 18, which was like a Catholic charismatic group and everything. So I was used to joining like religious groups and religious activities and stuff like that. So I was like, let's try it out. And little did I know that that would be the thing that would change my whole life. I mean, I was going to church and that was cool, but I was also, I would say, a very casual, I would attend church. I'm physically present,
correct.
But I'm not invested. I'm not thinking about this. Like, how does this really apply to my life? You know, like, okay, maybe God exists and it's good that I'm here, but it's like, okay, does he really exist? What's my proof? Mm. How is he evident in my life, right? How is, you know what I mean? So it was that season of prayer and fasting that really broke me. And I didn't expect it to. So anyway, that time of my life, I was still very much in my party phase, right? I was very much the life of the party. If not,
you're that guy. I was going to be like, oh, no, guys.
No. But no, I was, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't have to be, you know, the guy who's cracking all the jokes or whatever it was. But I was very much central in the planning. You know what I mean? All right, let's do this. Let's go there or whatever. So I was very much in it, no? But when I went through this, I was going through every day, because you have like a booklet, right? And it's like each day has a theme. So for example, day one is prayer or whatever. And then it gives you like a bunch of verses on prayer or whatever it is. And then so instead of eating, you go to service instead. And then, you know, you sing and stuff like that. Like that's like fellowship, no? So one day, I was still in college back then. One day I went to the library and I was like, okay, you know what? I'm doing this fasting thing. I better keep it up. But I needed to study for a test or whatever. But I also needed to finish this booklet that I was working on, right? And then the thing that came to mind was Matthew 6 verse 33, which says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these will be added to you, right? So I was thinking to myself, do I study or do I do my devotion?
Do I seek?
Yeah. Right? So sabi ko, okay, well, based on this verse, and I guess I'm in my fasting period, I should probably seek first. So I ended up writing in the booklet and everything. And then I was led to pray the most dangerous prayer I've ever prayed in my life. For some reason, I just felt led to say this. Lord, break me and put me back together again the way you want me to be.
Tower moment.
Yeah, exactly. So when you said tower, that's immediately what I thought of. It seems like just the kind of prayer you should be praying, right? But I didn't expect that he would answer it. So anyway, later on that day, I go home, and then my mom, who's also fasting and everything, she's like, Josh, oh my gosh, like your dad just landed this really big deal or whatever. And, you know, it was part of my prayer list for fasting. Like grabe, God really works so fast when you fast. That's probably why it's called a fast. That's why it's called a fast. You know? And then I was like, oh, great. And then at the same time, I was like, oh, crap. I literally just prayed to be broken.
And God's like,
I was like, oh, really? Like, oh, you to my end. So anyway, so this was 7 days, right? So I think it was either that night or the next night, I was really feeling the effects physically of my first ever fast.
This?
Maybe my third or fourth day. And I was just doing liquid this day. And I'd come from school, you know, MRT and all that. And like, I was really exhausted, right? So I was in my parents' room, like in the bed on the floor, and just like kind of watching TV. I don't know, just kind of trying to get through it, no? And then out of nowhere, my dad comes in and he starts screaming at me, right?
Wow.
Like out of nowhere. And he's talking about like my late nights, my, you know, all these things. And back then I had an answer for everything. Okay. I was that kind of, I'm that kind of son. Like they were like, I know, just become a lawyer na lang. Ganon. Okay. But
you are though. You're so philosophical. Can I just say?
Anyway, so I'm there. Right. And then I'm just looking up at my dad. And he's looking down at me, you know, pointing his finger, everything. Like, you know, last week you came home at this. When are you gonna start focusing on your studies or whatever it is? And then, and I'm just lying there thinking to myself, like, I have every single friggin' response to this, and like, there's so many fallacies to what you said. Like in my head,
attacking the
system. You're just waiting, you're calculating.
In my head. But I was also physically tired. Like, I didn't want to have to, you know. So I kind of...
Physically broken.
Sort of, right? Yeah. And so I went to my room instead, because I was in their room at this point. So I went to my room instead. I was like, okay, let's just chill out. Let me go to my room. So I go to my desk. And then my dad comes in again. And then just keeps... Uh-oh. And then he just barrages again. And I'm just thinking to myself again, like, oh, this is the time. I can kill you. Uh-oh. Here. Like, uh-oh. I got all... Lahat ng bala ko. Ready na. Alam mo yun?
You're on my turf now.
Ready na.
You entered my room.
And then I vividly remembered what I heard in service, I think that day or something, which was, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Vividly, as in, like, I was so clear, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And in the midst of this barrage of, like,
slow motion, your dad's just like,
and this momentum in me to be like, you are totally wrong, and here's why. What prevailed in my mind and in my heart was, but the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And I decided not to talk. And then it was in that moment that I just started breaking down and crying, because I was like, wow, that was the first moment in my life that I felt God is real and God speaks.
Wow.
And he's beautiful. Speaking to me right now. So I started to cry talaga. Because I was like, you know, it's a revelation moment, right?
Correct.
And then my mom comes in and she's like, Ponce, you don't know what he's going through, whatever it is. And so there, and that's basically what started me seeking more and being more intentional about. Yeah. Sorry, a little bit of a long story, but...
No. It's so great. Good. No.
I think it's a beautiful story. I think it's the fact that, as I was saying earlier, like, you need that moment.
Yeah.
You know, because if not, some people are not self-aware. They don't know they're in a rut. Some people know they're in a rut, but they're asking for help, but they don't know who to ask or how to ask.
Or sometimes people know that they need that moment, but they're scared.
Mm. Yeah, they're scared.
It's scary.
Yeah. It's like Danny and his relationship, right? Like, you know you want to break it, but you can't, right? And that moment, that tower moment, is a must. And for you, it came in that way and form, right? And whatever it is, it really doesn't matter the way it comes in. What matters is you're able to get out of that rut. And you realize when you look back into the season prior that, okay, I understand where that is. And one of the things that I learned in life is that when something happens to you, you have to understand why it happened, because if you don't and you don't learn from it, it's bound to happen again.
Correct. And it's a pattern.
It's a pattern. Yeah. So you want to break it, but never go back. So that's also important. You know,
that's why you need to recognize it.
Correct.
Yeah. I love that story.
Oh, thank you for sharing, Justin.
That was an answered prayer. I was broken and put back together the way he wanted me to be.
And I think
he should have prayed this prayer.
It's a dangerous prayer. You got to be ready for
it. It's a dangerous prayer. That's true. I feel like people who get the make or break yung mga tower moments.
Correct.
I feel like most of the people who get broken and parang let their tower moments defeat them usually are the people who need more self-awareness.
Correct.
It's because the self-awareness is like a weapon you can use during this tower moment. It's, okay, this has to happen to me. Why? It's because this is because that is because that. I feel like the people who let the tower moments break them, let it break them because they don't know what's happening.
Correct.
And they're just like, shoot. Okay, I'm defeated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I guess it reminds me also of like Kintsugi. It's like a Japanese, it's like the vases. I think it's Kintsugi, if I'm not mistaken. It's,
yun ba yung,
it's
ano, yung
broken
gold.
Pottery. No, it's like, you fill the gaps with like gold.
With gold.
And all that. It's part of the whole wabi-sabi idea.
There you go.
But it's because sometimes you are broken and you're never pieced back the same way or better. But also sometimes you needed that, but also you need to move forward. You need to embrace what you are now. And we are all a product of everything that has happened in our life. Right. And we have to embrace our imperfections.
So yeah, that really reminds me of when I looked in the mirror and I was looking at my stretch mark. I lost a lot of weight. So unfortunately, like on my tummy, there are some stretch marks. And as we all know, that's permanent, right?
Yep.
But
yes.
I'm kind of proud.
Mm. You should be.
It's like, it's a battle scar.
Battle scar. I was about to say.
Battle scar. I'm like, yeah. That's there because I was once big and look at me now.
I'm small.
Yeah. Now I'm small. I was once big. And now I'm small.
I actually big boy. Now I'm a small boy.
I actually posted about that just to add.
That's why you're Tiger Piglet.
Because I posted this picture of me on my bed, right? And everyone, I didn't even think about it, but everyone was just like, oh my God, she's so brave. She didn't even edit her stretch marks and all that stuff. Because I initially posted this on Twitter. I'm just like, oh no, you can see my stretch mark. I didn't even think about that. Correct. But to me, it doesn't really matter because I don't really care if my stretch marks show. Yeah. So I posted this on Instagram with caption, stretch marks are like the rings inside of a tree trunk. They're their own beautiful little tattoos that tell the story of your growth.
Correct. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful way of looking. I mean, I guess that's a good way to cap it off as well. The fact that if you look at any tree, any age tree, that's how you tell the age by the marks, right? And we're not going to come out of this unscathed.
Never. You're not meant to.
We're not meant to.
Those are like the gold lines in the broken vase. Nah.
Correct.
Yeah.
We fill our imperfections with something beautiful. Like, well, at least for the Japanese, it was gold.
Yeah.
But it could be anything. It could be anything that's good.
I think ours are lessons.
Lessons.
Those are the beautiful things that come out of, like, each of our seasons will leave us with stretch marks.
Mm. Correct. Yeah.
Stretch marks, we should adorn them with all the beautiful lessons that we learned from each season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those become beautiful themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people who, you know, would be very ashamed of it or whatever. And honestly, it's the same as our pasts. You know, there are things in our past that are maybe shameful in a general sense.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, like, they're what makes us us.
Right.
And this is why when I know people who have had the worst of pasts, like, and they use that to fuel the future of other people. And they use that to share so that other people can learn. And that makes them beautiful themselves and makes that past a value.
Mm.
And that's pretty much why we're sharing. You know, that's why I love sharing. I love hearing and listening to Justin talk about him going to time and Danny going to time. No. But I like talking about it because we know deep inside we're not in that season anymore,
mm.
mm-hmm.
and that's why it's important to talk about it and to discuss it and
to share,
share and to learn from each other.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
All right. That's
and with that,
pretty good.
And with that,
pretty good place to end, I think.
Great topic, Joss. I love this.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you. Very beautiful discussion.
Yeah, and more like it in this season.
More like
I think.
It for sure.
Yeah.
Everyone got some golden nuggets.
Yeah.
Golden stretch marks, if you will.
You know, it's our space to reflect, right?
Correct.
But I also like that it ends up becoming a space for our listeners to reflect. So, you know, we've been getting emails. And thank you so much to the people who've been sending us emails. Like, we love it.
We get them, guys. We get them and we read them.
No. And you have no idea how transformative that is, not just for you guys, but for us. Because we love reading, especially like...
Best part of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like Justin or Danny would like share it in the group. And it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it's like private for you guys, like, we love that you express yourselves to us and open up to us. But remember, like, we just keep it amongst ourselves. We don't like advertise it or anything.
Yeah.
So it's safe with us.
Yeah.
We're just saying we get them, just so you know.
Yeah.
And we're proud of you guys.
So thankful.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. Keep them coming, especially if you have, you know, topics that you want us to tackle.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Especially if it's like that.
Hey, you know what? After this, if you're listening to this episode right now, go to our Facebook page, go to our Instagrams, you know, at Justin Carino, Danny Moini, you know, Inka Magnaya, Jao De Leon. Go to any of our pages and message us. Talk to us.
Please.
Tell us like, hey, we want you to talk about this, or could you please talk about this? It's a great space for everyone.
Yeah.
And we're more than happy to to open it up for you guys.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And,
woo,
and with that, that yeah. caps off episode one of season woo. Two.
Boss.
Baby, baby.
Yay.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. We hope you're well. I forgot how to end. How do we end this again? How do you end this? How do you end? I think
you just press the button, dude, and you go like, dun, 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 dun.
Oh, wow. There, my camera.
We don't end it.
Wrong button, Justin. Wrong button.
We end it with dun, dun, dun.
I remember now. Okay. So again, guys, do hit us up. It's oncallwithjjd@gmail.com. You can also go on our social media. It's @oncallwithjjd. And use that for now because we're going to change it in a bit. I'm also going to put the links down here if you're checking it out on Spotify and everything, okay? Yep. So the links are down here as well. Thanks so much for listening to On Call with Justin.
Jacko.
Danny.
And Inga.
On Call. With Justin, Jacko, Danny, and Inga.
Goodbye, everybody.